We'll carry on with Mark chapter 1 today. Let me ask you, the question is, are you pleased with yourselves? Well, is anyone this morning perfect? People always they're quick to respond, no one is perfect. No one openly claims perfection. But at the same time, no one likes to be shown their faults. I don't. People say, you know, I'm not perfect, but don't you dare call me a liar. Or I'm not perfect, but you have no right to say I'm not a good person. Others say, I'm not perfect, but ask anyone. There's nothing bad about me. The person next to you this morning might think you're all right. But is this person next to you the great judge of your soul? Do any of your friends, colleagues, or family members have the authority to condemn you to hell or welcome you into heaven? Only God has this authority. We may look around to try and please each other, be nice to one another, try and tolerate one another. But what about the state of our souls? Displeasing one another or living the way we want to, so pleasing ourselves, deal with our problem of sin. I was speaking to a man a couple of weeks ago. He admitted he's a sinner. But he also went on to say, but I've never sinned against my wife and my children. I'm good to all my employees. Okay, I've lied a few times and done some naughty things in my past, but all in all, I'm not too bad of a bloke. And he sounded very convincing. And I asked him, is that how God sees you? What about your soul? He said, my wife loves me, my friends like me, that's all that matters for me in this life. Be good to those close to you. You can't go wrong with that. That was his message. And you sitting here this morning, that's probably your philosophy too. Be good to those close to me and everything will be okay. Or is it, as long as I don't steal and lie or break the law, I'll be fine? Or do you say, I'm not like him or her. I'm not as bad as that lot over there. I ask you, is God pleased with you? I speak of God Almighty, He who is sovereign over everything in heaven, on this earth, and under the earth. The only God, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who holds your very being in his hands, this very moment. Is this God pleased with you? We heard in the children's story how difficult. We can't do anything that pleases God on our own. It's always either anger or lies or deceitfulness. People's standard for what is good and pleasing falls way short of God's glory. We look for things to better ourselves with around us. But God is up there in heaven, in his glorious realm. Things around us here can't gain us anything. It's all good and dandy to have people that like us and to live a nice and comfortable life. But stand before God, you alone. Stand before God alone, the very way you are now. I assure you, if you're there by yourself, only death and destruction will come your way. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You alone, me alone, I alone, cannot please God. So what does it take to please God? The verse highlighted reads, a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Jesus alone. Jesus alone pleases God the Father. No one else, just Jesus. So what does it take to please God? The answer is simple, to be like Jesus. What does that mean? It means being perfect, pure, sinless. Not one bad thought, not one selfish motive, not one lustful look, not one disobedient moment. Loving, compassionate, merciful, gracious, kind, good, and humble. These are just to name a few of Jesus' wonderful attributes. To be all of these at the same time, all the time. That's what it takes to please God. And the truth is, I have failed in all of these. I'm dirty, sinful. Someone wrongs us, bad thoughts take control. About 2 months ago, my car was egged as I was driving, and a car that drove past me above the speed limit threw eggs at my car, and I was filled with rage, and I thought of 1,001 ways to get back at them. When we are helpful and caring to one another, we look for acknowledgement, we seek praise. Our motives aren't always as it seems. Money, power, and relationships, they're very attractive. We're so easily distracted from what matters. And should I list a couple of disobediences and rebellions toward God? God commands love, trust, and reliance on Him. But we choose our own way. There's nothing pleasing about me alone. Is there anything pleasing about you to God? Did you see the people's reaction to the result of the EU referendum? There was whinging, name-calling, hatred, character assassination coming from those who did not get it their way. Smugness and deception coming from the other camp. Both sides. There's nothing pleasing about both sides. It just shows the reality of the ugliness of people's hearts. Coming back to the student's story. So the heart of Esau and Jacob. No, John the Baptist, in our reading, said, I am not worthy. Look at the beauty of Jesus. The voice from heaven said, you are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Is God pleased with you? Unless the Lord is pleased with you, this brief, comfortable life of ours and these fleeting earthly pleasures we delight in will be the last of any sense of enjoyment we will have. For when God removes His grace and mercy from beneath us, there will be nothing to stop our fall but fire and brimstone. I look around and I urge you all, I urge you all to seek and desire to please God. Not people, not yourselves. Jesus was not thinking of Himself when He came. He already had all the glory in heaven. Look up to the heavens, the planets, the stars, the galaxies. Jesus was there when they were created. Look around you, the flowers, the trees, the fruits, the fields, the hills, the mountains, the animals, the sky and the sea. Jesus was present as all these were spoken into existence. God the Father was already pleased with Jesus, his Son, for everything was created for him and through him. Jesus was already reigning, heaven his throne and the earth his footstool. And yet, in obedience to further please his Father, he humbled himself. He became a servant, took the form of man. I've been quite ill the last few days, and being in this ill body is not nice. Jesus came from his glory and he took the form of man. Born in the lowest of places, a stable, he was seen as nothing more than a carpenter's son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave his beloved son as a gift. He delivered his beautiful son into the hands of his enemies so that he, God the Father, through Jesus, would be pleased with the likes of you and me. His beauty taken from him, rejected by his very own, became a man of suffering and familiar with pain. His face was disfigured, his body marred beyond recognition. He bore my sin so that in him God would be pleased with me. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Even when I hated him and rejected him, he bled for me. He took me as I am. He takes me as I am. He washes my sins with his blood. He clothes me in his righteousness. He presents me to his Father. And his Father is pleased. God is pleased. So what did it take for God to be pleased with wretched sinners like me? The blood of Jesus. I once again urge you, put your self-pleasing pleasures and motives aside and take a look at the cross. Take a look at Jesus who reigns today. Repent and believe in him. Why Jesus? Why Jesus instead of you or I? Because in Jesus, God is well pleased. Amen.